Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. Another week of the Hoosier Report. Glad to be back with you in studio for a live program today. And all sorts of stuff to get to coming out of the weekend. Indiana football with a big win. We didn't get to talk about that yesterday. Also, high school football, week three in the books. We have one undefeated football team, Silver Creek, and because of no show yesterday, we've got to tell you who the Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week is this week. We'll do that a little bit later in the program today as we juggle things around. And just a lot to get to because the recruiting period opened yesterday, so IU's coaches as well as all Division I coaches essentially out on the road. And this recruiting period, if you look at the recruiting calendar, starting with Monday, September 9th, there's a lot of green, which means go. College coaches can be out on the road watching players. They can go to practices. They can go to open gyms that are pretty standard for this time of year. But they can also do visits with a player and his high school coach, with a player and his family. They can do in-home visits. Basically, the calendar is green from this point forward, moving all the way through the end of March consecutively, with only a handful of times, a four-day period in November, a three-day period in December for holidays and things like that. But other than that, coaches can be on the road, coaches can be out, coaches can communicate with players. And so it's always interesting that very first day when you can get out and go see people, where does Archie Miller go? Where do the IU coaches go? Who do they show priority to, perhaps? And there's all sorts of different ways over the years that coaches have let prospects know, they're a major priority by maybe getting there to see them at 6:30 in the morning. You know, I think we've read about open gyms that take place before school, or maybe the coaches get there extremely early and let them know that, hey, we wanted to be here. This open gym, we're not going to learn much about you, probably not going to see a lot from you. And other times, just stopping by for a quick chat and then probably headed back to the private jet to move to the next stop. So we'll talk about Archie Miller's stops yesterday, or at least some of them. The coaching staff, very, very active getting out and about yesterday to kind of prioritize some players in the 2020 class where there are still some openings for this Indiana team and get out and see some players and see some families. So you've got all that going on now. You've also had some campus visits going. Those will continue into the fall. The game this weekend for football against Ohio State is going to be a big topic as well, but it's also going to be an opportunity to showcase the campus to some recruits and the college environment to some recruits as well. So big, big recruiting times on the road, on the campus in Bloomington, and of course the 2020 race continues to see who Indiana is going to be able to land next in that recruiting class as well. So a lot of fun and a lot of names out there to track, and even a new name yesterday in the class of 2020 that I'll tell you about a little bit in just a few minutes when we go through some of the stops yesterday. This player was a 2021 player but reclassified yesterday, meaning he's going to finish school a year early and then get to his college basketball destination. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we'll do our Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. It's how we open the show each day. A lot of recruiting-oriented stuff to get to as well. Also a quick Romeo Langford note or two, and a mention of IU football coming up in this segment. Later in the program, we'll be joined by Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star. Greg will be with us to talk I don't want to say the opening week, but really week two to me in college football is when you can really kind of begin to soak it all in, begin to get a real read for things. And with Indiana football, wow, what a result, what a score. I'm not sure I've ever seen a lopsided score like that, in my time at least, with Indiana on the good side of that lopsided score. So after some week one concerns, obviously things got better last week. Also, I think it's fair to say that Eastern Illinois was not as good as Ball State, and now Indiana, we're really going to find out where they are at here in these first 3 weeks of the season when they take on number six-ranked Ohio State coming up this weekend. So we'll talk some about that with Greg and more when he's with us a little bit later in the program today. Also on Tuesdays, we get the chance to talk with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. Mike will be with us to help break down some of the recruiting stops yesterday for Archie Miller and maybe talk a little bit more about some of the newer names that we have not spent as much time reviewing here on the program. A number of new names, even in the 2020 class, a couple new ones there for this Indiana group, this Indiana staff of coaches that is out and about recruiting again today. You can rest assured of that now that the recruiting period has opened. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Our Hoosier headlines each day are presented by Zaxby's, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. A number of things to get to today. Obviously, football, a big week for that right now, coming out of the high school season, coming out of the, week three of the high school season, coming out of week two of college football as well. How about this? Silver Creek football, they're the only undefeated team we have, 3-0 on the season. They've won some big games. They've won some games that you would expect them to win. And right now, they kind of lead the storyline, the landscape of high school football at this point. There have been some other teams that maybe have shown some flashes of potential, some flashes of being able to put it together and compete in the postseason, which is way far away right now. But also some teams that maybe have a lot of work to do if they're going to even have a competitive season. So Silver Creek coming out of week three, undefeated, still have some interesting games a little later in their schedule, but definitely a team with first-year head coach David Pappenhaus that are leading the way in the high school football headlines right now here in the area. And we'll talk a little bit more about Silver Creek and some high school football later when we name our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week presented by Sardano's. Normally we do it on Mondays. This week it's Tuesday as we had no live show yesterday, but stay with us for that coming up a little bit later in the program. Also with recruiting, we're going to talk about a lot of different names here in this segment where Indiana was at yesterday. But I want to start local with Trey Kaufman at Silver Creek. I had a chance to catch up with Brandon Hoffman, his coach at Silver Creek yesterday. And Coach Hoffman is going to join us on the program later this week for kind of an update on Trey. That's going to be something a lot like we did with Romeo. We had Jim Shannon on fairly regularly. We had Romeo on from time to time. We want to do the same thing with Trey. I think he's still got a lot of work cut out to reach that level of Romeo Langford, at least in high school, but his recruiting is reaching a very big-time level. Listen to this this week. Let's just say the next week and a half or so, and I don't even have them all in front of me right now. We'll talk with Coach Hoffman later in the week about all this, but he's been to Purdue here over the weekend for a visit. Now, he has got a visit this weekend for the Ohio State game. It's an official visit, which, remember, underclassmen can now do, juniors can now do, I should say, with new NCAA rules that are about maybe a year or so old. He's got an official visit set this weekend at IU. It's going to be a big weekend for Indiana. There are some interesting prospects on the campus. There obviously is a big football game, a big challenge game for the football team as they host Ohio State. But in addition to that, coming in this week, he's got coaches from Virginia. In fact, I understand Tony Bennett is going to be in Sellersburg to watch Trey Kaufman. Purdue and Louisville expected to watch him this week in these early limited contact practices that are now in their second year of being allowed by the IHSA. And he's got some other things set up as well into next week. It's been a huge week, or it will be, I should say, a huge week or week and a half for Trey Kaufman at Silver Creek, whose recruiting continues to expand. I saw a ranking, and I think I said this on the program, I saw a new national ranking where Trey actually dropped. He went down in the rankings which is puzzling to me because his recruiting is exploding. There are all sorts of positive things out there about him, and I think it's a matter of time, and it's already happening with Virginia, but I think it's just a matter of time till you hear maybe another big school or two get involved from out east somewhere. I really do. I really think he's that kind of player with that kind of potential as just a junior coming up this high school basketball season. So big week for him. We'll talk with Brandon Hoffman later in the week. I think Coach Hoffman is going to join us on Thursday, if it all works out with our schedules, for an update on Trey Kaufman. But my goodness, what a week when you talk about this recruiting period opening, when coaches can come out. Sellersburg and Silver Creek High School is going to be absolutely jam-packed. And it's not just going to be assistant coaches. It's not just going to be mid-major coaches or D2 coaches, which are fine. It's great to have those type of guys there to watch players on your team, no question about it. But they are going to have Division I coaches there, big-time head coaches to watch Trey Kaufman. And what a list he has just this week and into next week as well. Again, we'll talk more about that a little bit later in the week. Also, yesterday, I really can't even, to be honest with you, I really can't even track everywhere that Archie Miller and all the coaches were at. There were so many different stops yesterday. There were so many different mentions about where they could be and players that they wanted to meet with or go watch. I do know this, and I feel like this is a big one. Last night, Archie Miller and Tom Ostrom went to Prior Lake, Minnesota to watch Class of 2020 center Dawson Garcia. He's a big-time available prospect. Indiana seems to have a really good read on him. And anytime you hear that Tom Ostrom and Minnesota are involved with recruiting pertaining to Indiana basketball, you kind of wonder for a minute, because Ostrom has some great connections from the state of Minnesota. Landed Race Thompson. That jury's still out. I think there's a lot of reasons to be excited about Race as he's healthy now and into his college career. But we'll see how that plays out. But some good players from the state of Minnesota. And Tom Ostrom is somebody that is very well connected there with the grassroots coaches, with the high school coaches. And so they are visiting with Dawson Garcia, who it also looks like is working to schedule a visit at Indiana as well. And apparently last night, while visiting him at the high school, either at the school or after they left the school, they visited with his full family as well. So seems like Indiana is one of maybe four schools that is very, very in with Dawson Garcia. Again, this is a big man, a senior in the 2020 class. So he is also a name of interest. Another name to mention is Cam Hayes. He started the day yesterday as a 2021, so a junior, a five-star, and he announced that he is going to, over the weekend, I should say, he announced that he's going to move to the 2020 class. He's going to basically bypass a year of high school, reclassified, which gets him to college sooner. Cam Hayes is a student at Greensboro Day School in the Carolinas, and Indiana there to see him yesterday as well. And again, I'm just barely touching on the number of places that the IU coaches have been at here in the last 24 hours. And I'm sure that we'll hear more today about other stops that are forthcoming for this coaching staff as far as where they're at, where they're expected to be, who they're watching. There will be things pop up on a fairly regular basis from this point forward through the high school season as far as where the IU coaches are at. Also, a couple Romeo Langford notes today that I mentioned. New Albany High School announcing yesterday that it's going to be New Albany night at the Indiana Pacers game when Romeo Langford and the Boston Celtics come to town on December 11th. It'll be Romeo's first professional game back in the state of Indiana. And New Albany High School has a deal set up where you can go to a website and confirm your interest in tickets, and I think even purchase tickets that way. In addition to getting some preferred seating, where I think they're going to group New Albany and Romeo fans together that go through this promotion, you also get the opportunity, or at least the first 200 people do, to get in early from 5 to 6 p.m., to watch players on both teams go through individual workouts before the doors to Bankers Life Fieldhouse open to the general public. I'll tell you what, whether Romeo was playing in that game or not, whether he does play a lot of minutes or not in that game, just to see the players work out, to see their pregame routines, to see some of the shooting things they do, how they get loose, to me, that would be worth the ticket alone to get in a little bit early and see what it looks like that far in advance of an NBA game. There also is a special shirt or some gear available. You can get a t-shirt, a sweatshirt that has New Albany and Romeo's number one that he wore at New Albany on the front. On the reverse side, it has his name. It looks like the back of a Celtics jersey, and it has the number 45 that he'll wear at the Celtics. You can find out more at GoNewAlbany.com, and that's also where you can find tickets and how to purchase tickets. And there's a flyer there from the Pacers as well that gives more details about the different pricing options that are available as well. So neat stuff. I'm sure there'll be a huge turnout of not just New Albany fans, but also Romeo fans from across the area. And again, let's hope that he plays in that contest, and let's hope he gets some minutes. As a rookie, there's been so much change in the offseason with Boston as far as some of their stars leaving town and some new guys coming in that are expected to be basically the faces of that franchise. And with Romeo being a rookie coming off of hand surgery, a lot of unknown. But nonetheless, it'll be neat to be in the building, see Romeo go through his workout, see Romeo hopefully log some minutes in that game. And a neat night, I'm sure. New Albany night at the Indiana Pacers when the Celtics come to town on Wednesday, December 11th. One other Romeo note, kind of tying this in with IU football, which we're going to talk about in the next segment with Greg Doyle. How about Romeo Langford? Still at Indiana, or at least he was over the weekend, still working out with the guys and with Cliff Marshall, getting in some strength work, getting in some court work, but pictures of him at the IU football game, relaxing, chilling, whatever you want to say, with the IU football players, or with the IU basketball players, excuse me. He's hanging out with Rob Phinisee. We heard, you know, he likes to stay on Rob Phinisee's couch when he's in Bloomington. But hanging at the game, just like, almost like he was back at Indiana for another year. And obviously, he has a good time there. Obviously, those are his friends. And obviously, the good news for IU fans listening is Romeo Langford may be more of a recruiting help and recruiting assistance, even though he's just a year removed from the program. Not even that. Obviously, this is his first year out of the program. He might be more of a recruiting help with some of these visits and with prospects than we ever imagined that he might be right away. So very interesting to see how close the connection is. He's not just going back to Indiana, obviously, to use their world-class facilities for training and conditioning and those kind of things. He's also going back to Indiana because he has a lot of fun there. That's been made very clear to me. There were lots of rumors in the when the season ended, he doesn't like Indiana, they misused him, they this, they that. Well, all I can tell you is he's having a lot of fun on campus still, even though he doesn't go to school there, hanging out with some of the IU basketball players. And I think that is really good news for IU basketball moving forward. Indiana may look back on the year of Romeo Langford, and you may always say, gosh, I wish that this team could have got to the NCAA tournament, or gosh, I wish this would have been a year where there were some major, major improvements and some maybe a run into the NCAA tournament, to the Sweet 16, and you can say that kind of triggered our success into the future. Obviously, that didn't happen. There were struggles. There were a couple good moments at the end, but lots of struggles with this team last season. But one thing I think you'll be able to do is look at Romeo Langford from years on and say he's an ambassador for Indiana basketball and an ambassador for the state of Indiana. I would just be shocked if that's not the case, not just right now, but for years moving forward. That's a look at the headlines. It's how we start the program each day, presented by Zaxby's. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Greg Doyle. Our chat with Greg is always presented by Coffee Crossing, and we're going to talk IU football, Archie Miller, Romeo Langford, and more after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, always with us on Tuesdays. This segment is presented by Coffee Crossing. And, Greg, I was sitting here trying to think when the last time, and I'm not sure it's in my lifetime, I'm not sure when it was, that Indiana was on the winning side of a 52-0 type score in college football. I know Eastern Illinois probably not even near what Ball State was in week one, But clearly, Indiana built some momentum in that game. They fixed some of their problems from week one, and now they are heading into an unbelievably tough challenge, but a game that will definitely show us where this team is at here early on, Ohio State Saturday in Bloomington.
Yeah, if you're going to be pretty good in the Big Ten, you need to beat people like Eastern Illinois 52-0. It's not enough to win 37-13 because that's what that's the minimum result. So if you're not a U fan looking for a sign, and the Ball State game wasn't really the sign, but if you're looking for a sign that, you know, this team might be, you know, there's some special talent on this team. Well, teams with a lot of talent blow out teams like Eastern Illinois 52-0. And if you look at how they did it, they didn't run the ball that great again. Penix looked just fine, but then Peyton Ramsey comes in, and maybe he was playing against their seconds or thirds, and he was playing with his own seconds and thirds. Peyton Ramsey was dang near perfect. As good as Penix was, Ramsey's numbers are better. So that's a great sign, just and not a surprise, that the kid hasn't mailed it in, hasn't pouted about not starting. You know, they've got a really good – I mean, if you have a really good backup quarterback, that's what you need. The Colts are finding that out right now with Jacoby Brissett, and IU has that in Peyton Ramsey, and that's in a violent sport like this, got to have it.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, this segment presented by Coffee Crossing. What happens this weekend? I think you were at – I know you were at the Ball State game. I don't know that you were at Saturday's game, but I know you followed this team closely. What happens this weekend in your estimation?
Well, I wasn't at Eastern Illinois because the Colts were out of town. They sent me to L.A., so I was not there for that. And I'm still debating, do I go to the IU game or not Saturday? And I'd like to, when Ohio State's in town playing IU, because, you know, if IU wins that game, I need to be there. Now, if they lose by 40, I don't need to be there, and who knows what's going to happen. But if they win the game, I better be there. The problem is the Colts play at 1 p.m. in Nashville, and all of our Colts guys are going up Saturday. And so anyway, I'm not sure I'm going to go. But what do I think? And here's why I'm not sure I'm going to go. I don't think they're ready. I think Ohio State is not as good as it's been without Urban, with the new quarterback. I mean, I'm sure they'll be fine going forward. But right now is the time to play them. If you're whoever you are, now is when you want to play IU. OSU, because their coach is new, the quarterback is new. Now is the time. And now I'm talking myself into maybe I need to go. But I don't think they're ready. And that's no shot at – Lord knows, that's no shot at IU. I mean, I'm not saying they're not ready to play Minnesota. I'm saying they're not ready to play Ohio State. It ought to be more competitive than some recent games have been. But I'm not going to sit here and tell you they're going to win that game. I don't see it.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Greg, I spent a lot of the first segment talking about where Archie Miller and the assistant coaches were at yesterday recruiting, with the recruiting period basically opening up. It's always interesting to see where whatever program you might follow, who they make a priority, who they see in that first day, what unique things they do to indicate, hey, you are a priority to our program. And Archie has been a relentless recruiter. We've talked a lot about his in-state recruiting. It's very interesting now, with this 2020 class at least, to see him focus on players in Minnesota and on the East Coast and other places, because really Indiana's maxed out, I think, with Lil and Galloway in the class, and somewhat of a short class as far as high major Division I potential goes. They're having to reach out far beyond, in some cases, the state's border to fill one, two, who knows, even three spots potentially in this class of 2020. That said, I mentioned that an underclassman named Trey Kaufman, who is garnering all sorts of scholarship offers and kind of is a junior Romeo here in Southern Indiana, located in Sellersburg. He's got Archie Miller coming in. He was at Purdue over the weekend. Tony Bennett's expected to be in town, maybe even today, but this week for sure. The list of Division I schools that are coming in per his high school coach is unbelievable for the next week or so. And he's going to be at Indiana over the weekend. I'm trying to tie this back into the Ohio State game. This is a good game, no matter if Indiana was able to pull up an upset and win, which would be huge for the football program, or whether Indiana's, you know, loses by 40 points and Greg Doyle doesn't need to be there to cover the game and to see an IU win. This is a big opportunity, games, college football games like this, just to showcase the environment of the school, not even necessarily football on the field or the quality of the football, but what IU is, what the campus is. And when you have Trey Kaufman or any big-name recruit on campus, we heard Jordan Geronimo talk about this. It was unbelievable, he said, that people – knew who I was at gas stations and everywhere we went. If they knew who Jordan Geronimo was from up east, they're definitely going to know who Trey Kaufman was from Southern Indiana. So this can be, games like this can be a big selling point for Archie Miller, for his staff, and for these players to realize what celebrities and how important they are in the state if they were to become an Indiana Hoosier.
It all comes down to passion. If you're visiting a school, you want to see that. You want to see passion. You want to see enthusiasm and emotion. And yeah, you're going to see it this weekend. They're going to see it. You don't want to come to an IU game. The Ball State game is at Lucas Oil, but you don't want to go to an IU game or whoever you're visiting and see the stadium 2/3 full. You just don't want to see that. So this is important. Yes, there's in the press box, and this is not a joke that I tell, but this is what people say all the time. I mean, all the time. Then they'll say it again on Saturday, whether I'm there or not. They'll say it that this is the kind of game that will show up in the IU media guide picture because the stadium will be full and everybody will be wearing red. So this, whether it's IU or Ohio State fans, so this is what they say about IU when they play a team like this, is that this is the picture game because this is when it looks like football really matters on campus. And I'm not saying looks are deceiving, but this is the game that really showcases it.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, this segment each Tuesday presented by Coffee Crossing. Romeo Langford, back on the IU campus. There was a couple photos of him at the football game over the weekend, just hanging out with Rob Phinisee and some of the other IU basketball players. He's tweeted to recruits. He's retweeted offers that recruits get. He's been back on campus in the summer to work out on and off the court with Cliff Marshall and use the facilities. He's been spotted hanging out at football games and simply just having some downtime fun. Can we put to rest, you think, the rumors that Romeo didn't like his time at Indiana and doesn't like Archie Miller and so forth?
Oh, yeah. I hate that we're going to give that as much credit as to call it a rumor. Because a rumor is something that in my business you got to kind of track down. Hey, there's a rumor about this. Let's go track that down. The rumor that IU, that Romeo didn't like his time at IU is not a rumor. That's nonsense. So does it put to rest nonsense? Well, nonsense never got started in the first place. So there are people talking about that. A lot of people saying that are fans of other schools. And granted, in this state, you're either an IU fan or you're a fan of anybody else. So I get that. That's how it goes. But Romeo's a guy that, I mean, and this is not hindsight. Romeo's a guy that when the spring semester ended, he was about the last player on campus. I mean, he was still there. He was there even though he was taking mostly internet classes and didn't need to be there. He just wanted to be there working out and hanging with the guys. So if nothing else, yes, if that stupid nonsense ever is broached to Archie, you know, by a recruiter, by a recruit's parents, or by an AU coach or something, he can say, you know, the guy comes back every chance he gets. So, and that is important because Romeo's season didn't go the way we all thought it would. And so that is an important thing to be able to say is that, you know, a great, great, great player came here, and no matter what happened on the court, loved it.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. One other Romeo note. Romeo coming to Bankers Life Fieldhouse December 11th. The Celtics play at the Pacers. It'll be the first professional game for Romeo in Indianapolis. And yesterday it was announced the Pacers are going to have New Albany night, which I'm sure helps them sell some tickets and also gives New Albany and Romeo fans an opportunity to get some good seats and maybe to get in a little early. There's a viewing period from, I think, 5 to 6 to watch players work out in the pregame and things like that. Pretty neat to see. The question remains, though, and this is something that Greg Doyle can't answer. I don't think anybody can answer. As a rookie and entering his rookie year, coming out of a hand surgery, which you hope his shooting is obviously better, and also with all the changes that Boston has had in the offseason, there seems to be some opening for him to earn some playing time and to earn a spot in the rotation. But so early in the season, who knows where he's at. Will be interesting to see that game. Obviously, it'll be great to have him back in the state and great to have a lot of support there for him. But will be interesting to see at that point what type of role he has for the Celtics early on.
Yeah, and I don't think that the Celtics and Brad Stevens specifically are going to care a whole lot. I know they're not going to care any. New Albany Knights. They're not going to do anything that they don't think Romeo's ready for. And I have no idea what's going to happen, but you know, if they don't think Romeo's ready physically or whatever with the shooting, whatever, we're not going to see him play much that night unless he's ready. I mean, what I'm saying is they're not going to trot him out there to show him off to the home state. Not
sure.
In fact, that's the last thing they're going to do is trot him out there. If he plays, it's because he's ready to go. Otherwise, I can see him actually playing less than he normally would, because what you don't want to do to a kid like Romeo is put him out there for the last 3 minutes of garbage time and kind of embarrass him. You don't want to do that.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, with us, presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg, another big weekend of college football forthcoming. Recruiting the IU staff out in a big way. Look forward to talking with you again next week here on the program.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Matt.
All right, Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, with us each Tuesday, presented by Coffee Crossing. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back and get a little bit deeper into some of these names I mentioned earlier in the show as far as where the IU staff has been at and perhaps where they may be going this week with the recruiting period now open. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com is with us. We'll break some of those players down and take a look at where Coach Miller was at yesterday. And, of course, you can go to the Pegs.com site. They've got lots of information on some of the details of these players that Archie Miller and the other coaches have been watching. We'll be back to talk recruiting and where the coaches are at, some of the players of interest. I'm sure we'll talk some Trey Kaufman of Silver Creek as well coming up in the next segment right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Mike Pegram with us of Pegs.com in this final segment. Also ahead, we have to crown the Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week for this week, presented by Sardano's Pizza. No live show yesterday, so we're going to knock that out here in the final segment today. Mike, there is lots to talk about from an IU perspective. We want to start with football and then get into some basketball recruiting. But Indiana, a winner in football, 52-0 over the weekend. And I don't think by any means it was an Indiana team that has perfected everything from week one. I'm not sure the strength of their opponent on Saturday either, but definitely an Indiana team that did what it needed to do. They won the game convincingly. Two quarterbacks played. Both showed signs of promise. And now they're geared up for a big challenge this weekend against Ohio State.
Yeah, and they got through it pretty healthy. There's no really significant guys that have had to be replaced. So all hands on deck for Saturday's game. They've played Ohio State tough before, so we'll see if they can finish, because that's been the difference. The late third, fourth quarters has been owned by the Buckeyes in the past.
Going back to Saturday's win over Eastern Illinois, Mike, as you take a look at the Ball State game, the Eastern Illinois game, getting ready for the Ohio State game, what changed from week one to week two? What improvements did you see? And then also on the flip side of that, with a legitimate opponent, not Ohio State of old, but still a legitimate team coming to town, what areas of concern do you still see even after a big win on Saturday, 52-0 against Eastern Illinois?
Well, it appeared the defense tackled better. Didn't see a lot of broken tackles leading to runs much longer than they should have occurred. You didn't see any mistaken throws by Michael Penix when the guy wasn't open. You saw a couple really good catches, one in particular by Walt Fillier. And the running game was more productive. Yards per carry were about double from some of the backs, like Stevie Scott, their main running back. So there was some progress. It's hard to say how it was really significant given the level of the opponent, but basic things like tackling and so forth, you can kind of see, and you saw a lot of what's typical for game one to game two kind of improvement. So that was important, and again, staying healthy. Saturday, the defensive line for Indiana will be really tested. We really don't know how good that is. Can they put enough pressure on, Justin Fields to cause, Ohio State a little bit of trouble in the backfield? Because if they don't, he's just going to pick them apart, and he can also run, and he's a big, strong guy. It's just, going to be a tough combination for them unless they can, you know, get a little movement around the edge of the big offensive line of Ohio State. And there's still some question on the offensive line for Indiana. They've had to replace a couple guys, and their running attack against Ball State wasn't very good. You know, some of that had to be putting guys loading up the box and so forth. But the defensive line from Ohio State is fantastic. Chase Young is one, you know, arguably one of the best two or three defensive ends in the country. Already has three sacks, and so it's a tremendous talent challenge. And but at some point, Indiana has to win a game like this. They have to turn the corner and pull an upset if they want to become a good program.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com, talking IU football. Big one, number six rank, Ohio State, coming to town on Saturday. I've mentioned that Trey Kaufman will be at the game on Saturday. Of course, he's a player right here in our backyard from Silver Creek and Sellersburg. How big of a weekend is a game like this, no matter what happens on the field with the football team or their performance or how competitive the game is? How big of a weekend is having a big game with a huge crowd like this for this Indiana basketball team and their recruiting efforts?
Yeah, the crowd will be pretty full, and that's a great atmosphere. I think it's been good for recruiting, even though Indiana has lost some of these Ohio State games because they have been competitive till late, and you get a feel for the atmosphere. You know, a noon start isn't quite as good as I think 1-2 years ago when it was a Thursday night game, and you know, a lot of fun and craziness with a night game. But yeah, the fans will be excited. And it's good recruiting atmosphere. The weather should be good. We're still in September, so it's an ideal situation to bring in a prospect, even though Indiana won't be the favorite on the field.
Talking with Mike Pegram of Peaks.com. Other recruiting stuff, generally, it's a very busy time with recruiting. Fall campus visits had already begun. Of course, Jordan Geronimo with a visit and then a commitment not far after his commitment. But now, as of Monday, it's a recruiting period that, if you look at the NCAA's calendar they put out with all the green dates, which means you can recruit, which the red dates, no, the yellow dates, obviously it's a quiet period. But if you look at the calendar, really from September 9th yesterday all the way through the end of essentially the high school basketball season at the end of the March, except for a couple of holiday times and holiday periods, it's all green. So now not only can players come on campus for unofficial and official visits, but the coaches can also go recruit, go watch open gyms, go watch practices. That's about the extent of what you'll see in the fall right now as far as high school teams and things like that. But Archie Miller and his group making a big effort yesterday to get out and see a number of players. You can read all about the stops and some of the details of these players at Mike's website, him and Jeff all over it at Peaks.com. But can you give us an overview yesterday of what the day looked like for Archie Miller? It was a very busy day, prioritizing some guys, getting out to see a number of different talented players.
Yeah, there was two stops. The big one really is Minneapolis area to go see Dawson Garcia, you know, a five-star, versatile post player, who's a terrific shooter and passer for a guy who's 6'10", 6'11", and played on the same D1 Minnesota team in the summers that Race Thompson played for. And Archie Miller was out there, I think, with Coach Ostrom, and Tom Ostrom is from the Minneapolis area, was, you know, has been instrumental in multiple signings from that area. So that, and that, we've, you know, since learned Dawson Garcia has gotten, you know, fairly close with Trey Galloway. Both of them have been on the Adidas circuit, and kids get to know each other, running into each other at those events and those camps. And, you know, he's really trying hard to add him to that three-man class they have right now. And so it's that was a big stop, and I heard it went really well, went very long. And besides that, you also had Indiana looking at a couple North Carolina players. Cam Hayes is a newer name, point guard, and also Carter Witt. And an interesting thing about that is they're both North Carolina kids from currently in the 2021 class that are looking to reclass to 2020, especially Cam Hayes seems to be definite in that move. And from the from very close to each other. One's in Greensboro, I think one's in Raleigh, and they can't go to the same school, so that, you know, because they play the same position. So that's very interesting. Both are Mike Roberts recruits, because Mike, you know, has been in North Carolina the last several years and recruiting those areas really hard, and the AU programs that the both of them are associated with. So that was pretty interesting first day of the recruiting period. And like you said, this goes on for a while. But you want to make, you know, first day is always important, and you prioritize these two areas, and Dawson Garcia, especially with Archie being the guy there.
I think even though Trey Galloway, Anthony Leal already committed, isn't it likely that either they have or will probably drop in? Just to remind those players, they are big pieces of the foundation. They're glad to have them in the fold and have a quick conversation with them just to stop in and have that visit and talk about the future, even though they're already committed. Isn't that something that normally happens in this first few days?
Yeah. You know, if they're Indiana kids, and obviously Anthony's just lives in Bloomington, so he'll be by quite a bit for these visits and coming over and maybe to play some of the pickup stuff that goes on before the season, you know, practicing gets officially started in early October. And Trey's a little bit longer drive, but, you know, he'll pick and choose his times to make that drive down from Culver, the northern central part of the state. But those guys will when it makes sense, be down to, you know, put their pitch in to get some more help from in their class, because they want to win, and they know they need other pieces to add to the puzzle.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com, joining us. We're talking IU basketball recruiting today. It's really interesting now with the addition of Mike Roberts. You were talking about some kids over in the Carolina area that Indiana stopped in to see yesterday. And Mike obviously has connections there. He's got connections in Indiana to a certain extent where he's from, and he's got connections with prep school. He was played at least a year of prep school basketball before his high school career came to an end. He even lived out in Oregon for a while, which is where I think his high school career before he went to prep school concluded. So he's got some dots, different parts of the country. And then when you talk about Minnesota and Dawson Garcia, immediately if you follow this IU recruiting stuff closely, you think about Tom Ostrom and the connections that he has to D1 Minnesota and some of the big grassroots teams and the high school coaches in that state, which, you know, I don't know if people recognize it, but Minnesota produces some really good basketball players that go on to play high major Division I basketball. And then, of course, Bruiser Flint, you think of Philadelphia and toward up east and maybe into some of the prep school scene. So it's kind of a good identity that this coaching staff has right now. And each of the other assistants, whether they're a recruiting coach or not, all have connections over the years that they've developed with high school coaches and in different parts of the country. So it's really a unique layout right now. You can almost, when you say a player and where he's from, you can almost in your mind associate probably who the lead recruiter is as far as the IU assistant assigned to him.
Right. I mean, like on Jordan Geronimo, being from Boston area, Bruiser was a UMass head coach and spent time with that staff for a long time. And yeah, anybody from Philadelphia will be on his list. And he's also been very involved with New York area players. But Mike Roberts would be also involved, I think, with some of those prep schools because he's developed some ties because of his times at New Hampton, out in New Hampshire area, and that southeast quadrant of South Carolina, Georgia, North Carolina would be something that I think you'll see him hit hard really hard for Indiana. And then he has a little bit of ties out west because he was with the high school in Oregon and also was assistant coach at Cal Berkeley. So, and he spent some time in Texas as well at Rice. So they have a lot of dots out there, especially Mike and Bruiser.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com. Again, a lot of the things we talk about you can read at the Peaks.com website. Mike Pegram, Jeff Rabjohns from a football side of things, Matt Weaver, all regular guests on this program that have all sorts of coverage on the Peaks.com site. Mike, one other question for you. This was something just sent to me. This time of year, when coaches are out in the September-October period, before high school games have begun, when they go, like when coaches come this week to see Trey Kaufman, there's a number of coaches scheduled to see him this week at Silver Creek High School. When they come, are they watching Are they really evaluating and watching open gym practice and studying it from that perspective? Or is it more of just a visit to further develop or enhance a relationship with a player that they're recruiting? Or is it a little bit of both?
Well, in Trey Kaufman's case, I would say it's more of the latter, because I think he's convinced a lot of colleges that he's good enough. But they do come to, like, sometimes it's a workout in the morning before school. Sometimes it's a workout after school. But they do use those periods to get an idea of what the skill level of a player is. And they make decisions off of those workouts for some prospects. But the guy is fairly proven, like Trey has become. Then it's more or less showing interest and developing the relationship.
Mike Pegram, Pigs.com. Always with us Tuesdays. Lots of information from Mike when he's with us on the program. And as always, Mike, appreciate the opportunity to catch up.
All right. Talk to you next week.
Big football game this weekend for Indiana. The Hoosiers host Ohio State, sixth-ranked Ohio State. This is going to be interesting game. I could see it going a number of different ways. Matt Weaver of Pigs.com is going to join us a little later in the week to preview the game more. But an interesting game this week for Indiana football. I think we'll have a lot better read, as you would expect after playing Ball State and Eastern Illinois. We'll have a lot better read on this team as far as what to expect, with maybe even a win total to a certain degree. Definitely for their bowl game prospects as well, depending on what happens in week three, and maybe even with the quarterback position. I mean, I think there's been some definite really good moments for Michael Penix so far, but can he have those good moments, those really good moments against an Ohio State defense? And do we see Peyton Ramsey at all in this game, who did look good in the snaps he got against Eastern Illinois? So this is a real interesting game. I could see it going a number of different ways. I could see it being competitive. Hate to say it, but maybe could see it going the other way as well. Going to be interesting to see. We'll learn a lot more about IU football this week on Saturday, and we're going to talk a lot more about IU football this week, probably more than what we typically do in a week heading into a big game like this on Saturday. Also, with me out yesterday, we did not get an opportunity on Monday. Normally, the very first thing we do coming out of the weekend on the program is announce our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week. And so far we've had some great winners. In week one, Keandre Winford of New Albany was the winner. Last week in week two, Winkers Wright, he had some huge numbers for Floyd Central. In fact, he did again this week as well. He was our week two winner as our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week. And our week three winner this week, I'm going to tell you about here in just a moment. And I understand that maybe he was injured over the weekend as well in the game. So before we go any farther, let's say that we wish recovery for him well. But our athlete of the week this week, presented by Sir Danos, is Dylan Myers. He's the new quarterback for Silver Creek this year, the new starting quarterback, I should say. He had 149 total yards of offense, two touchdowns. Silver Creek is off to a 3-0 start. This is his first year as the quarterback, and definitely somebody that is turning heads here in this high school football season in 2019. So congratulations to Dylan. He's our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week, presented by Sir Danos Pizza, which is just across the road from where Dylan attends school in Sellersburg. Dylan will receive a free 14-inch pizza. There'll be a recording that'll run throughout the week, a commercial that will recognize him and his accomplishments as the Athlete of the Week. And he's somebody that, again, I understand there was an injury over the weekend that might keep him out a little bit. I don't really have any details, but we hope he recovers quickly, because he has been such a key for this Silver Creek team. Also, looking at Silver Creek's schedule, 3-0 start. And if you look, and I'm sure Coach Pappenhaus would not like this, but if you look at their schedule, they will be favored in most of the upcoming games, if not all of the upcoming games. Later in the season, though, if they could find a way to stay undefeated, depending on what's going on with Dylan Myers and his injury, if they could find a way to stay undefeated, they would be 7-0 heading into the game against Brownstown later in the season, which would basically mean it's the Mid-Southern Conference Championship game and would be a huge game as far as local high school football goes later in the regular season. But congratulations to Dylan. He's our Athlete of the Week. And again, not just for what he's done this week, but for taking over the quarterback position. He had big shoes to fill for the Dragons, and he's absolutely done so. He's our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week, presented by Serdano's Pizza in Sellersburg for Week 3. That's going to wrap things up for this Tuesday edition of the program. I'll be back with you on Wednesday at 11 a.m. If you like IU basketball and football and recruiting, if you like things going on here in Southern Indiana sports, this is the show for you each day. You can catch it live at 11 o'clock, the replay most days at 3 o'clock. We also have a podcast. You can find us on SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. And we're on Apple Podcast as well. Just search for the Hoosier Report, and if you find us, subscribe. It's free. It'll be delivered right to your phone or your iPad, however you listen to podcasts each day. And leave us a rating and a review on there, a positive rating, a good review. That'll help us connect with others that might be interested in a radio show and a podcast that covers the subjects that we do here on the program. Have a great Tuesday. Glad to be back with you today. And I'll return on Wednesday for another live edition of the Hoosier Report. Don't forget, coming up later this week, we have the Kentuckiana High School kickoff show, where we preview big games on both sides of the river. And also later in the week, I'll be telling you more about our high school football coverage plans for Friday nights. We've been having a lot of fun with high school football Friday nights here on the Big X. Kickoff show with interviews followed by roving coverage around the area with call-in reports from other games. Always have a constant scoreboard mixed in there. And then our Southern Indiana scoreboard show, when it's all said and done, we interview coaches and media. Been a lot of fun, and we look forward to continuing that for you in week 4 of high school football. We are moving through the high school football season. Lots of recruiting stuff forthcoming as well, as we continue to track today for the second day in a row where Archie Miller and where the IU coaches are at. We'll have all that for you tomorrow on the program and a lot more. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.